Hello and welcome to the Aware Parenting Stories podcast. My name is Joss Golden and I'm so happy that you're here. In this podcast series, I interview people who are passionate about parenting. We talk about many things to do with parenting and motherhood and explore the joys and challenges that we all face in our families. The aim of the podcast is to share more about aware parenting, to inspire us all on our parenting adventures, and to support us all to raise our children with more awareness, connection, and love. Before we start this beautiful conversation today, I just want to remind everybody about my Aware Partnering in Parenthood course, which is available for you on my website. This course gives you tools to use in your family to help bring more harmony and connection, both to your relationship with your partner or co-parent, as well as your relationship with your children. This is something that comes up so often in sessions that people need extra help and support to navigate. And this course goes through all the different aspects of aware parenting and how we can bring this framework to our relationship with the other parent of our children. It helps you to navigate the stresses of parenting together with somebody else, whether you're together still with the other parent of your child or whether you're separated or part of a blended family. The course is designed to be completed either alone by yourself or together with your partner or shared with your co-parent. And it is a self-paced set of 9 modules that dives into all these beautiful aspects of aware parenting and how we can use that to have less conflict, less disagreement, and less difficulty with the people with whom we are sharing this parenting journey. If you want to learn more, please go to my website, awareparenting.com.au/workshops and courses. Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Aware Parenting Stories podcast. Today, I'm very excited to finally be getting together with the lovely Belinda Smith. Belinda, thanks so much for making time to come and talk to everybody today.
Thank you, Joss. It's so gorgeous to be here with you. I'm really pleased that we've been working to make this happen for a while, both busy, and it's really lovely to have an hour with you.
Yes, indeed. So I'll just introduce you, Belinda, in case people aren't familiar with you. So Belinda is a mother to 2 beautiful boys now in their tweens and teens. She is a single mum living in Perth, Western Australia. She's been a certified hand-in-hand parenting instructor since 2017 and built on this solid foundation with a certification as a level 1 aware parenting instructor in 2023. She is particularly passionate about parenting with connection, about supporting parents in the many roles that she has, and sharing particularly about the importance of listening for us all, as well as reading, connection, and books. Thanks so much again, Belinda. So I wonder if you might start by sharing your amazing story, like how you found this way, what it was about aware parenting that really appealed to you, and just this, the process.
Yeah, it's so interesting, isn't it? Because when you start to follow the thread back, it's interesting to see, like, try to pick a start point. And I think I'd have to say my beautiful mum just really valued connection. She really valued connection. She really wanted to spend time with us. She really wanted to have a great relationship with us. And I think having someone who prioritized that all throughout my life meant that I kind of knew it. But what I didn't know so much was listening and being listened to and having that experience. So when I had my kids, I was older, 35 when I had my first child, and I just had the idea of listening to his feelings just wasn't on my radar. I thought being a good mum was really making sure he never had any feelings, making sure he never cried. And so we had a really rough birth and he was just a little firecracker, you know, just moved all the time. And if he wasn't feeding on, if he wasn't on the boob, then he was just like bouncing on my knee and just full of feelings and waking every 40 minutes. By the time he was 10 months old, he was banging his head on the floor with tantrums. By the time he was 18 months old, he had lots of big feelings and we had lots of aggression. And I look back and think, I was kind of extraordinary because I just held it together. You know, through all that, I just was loving and patient and held it together. But, you know, that's not sustainable. And then when I had my second beautiful boy who I had a beautiful birth with, and it was all gorgeous, but the wheels just fell off. It was rough once I had two. I really struggled, and I just wanted so much to things to go well. I love these beautiful boys so much, but it was really rough. But luckily, I found hand-in-hand parenting. I read a lot of books and discovered a reference to Patty Whitfler, and thought, right, I haven't heard of this person yet. There wasn't a book out there yet, so tracked that down and started to learn about listening to feelings, and thought, this makes so much sense. Oh my goodness, this is the missing piece of the puzzle. But I would try to listen to my children's feelings and really want to, but I would lose it over and over again. And so it wasn't until I had listening partnerships in my life that things started to really change. And that took about a year. I was doing the online courses and was a bit scared of listening time, and it is a bit scary. Meeting with someone you don't know and sharing things, it's a bit full on. But that was the change, mate. That was the thing that changed everything. So I loved it so much. You know, I got one particular listening session with a very experienced listener, and I sobbed, honestly, Joss, in a way I'd never sobbed before. And this person didn't get worried and they didn't spiral, oh my goodness, let's fix this. They just listened. And on the basis of that 30 minutes, I had more patience and more, you know, I was like ninja mum with the kicks and aggression and loving and patient. I was just able to be the parent I wanted to be. And I thought, this is magic. I need more of this. And so that led me down the path of becoming hand-in-hand parenting certified instructor. And I was in that world for a long time. I kept hearing about aware parenting because they're very aligned. And I'm so pleased that I've kind of gotten into this beautiful aware parenting world in the last couple of years as my boys are reaching their teens and tweens, because it's just given me an added layer of nuanced understanding about their needs. So really thinking about their needs and what's behind the difficult moments, you know, is it a need for information? Is it that their needs are not being met? Or more likely, is it those big feelings? And I was kind of often going to that, it's the big feelings, and missing maybe the first two. And so aware parenting has really given me that beautiful three-dimensional understanding of, actually, my oldest has a really strong need for autonomy and choice. And if I can meet that need, a lot of the challenges that I was having have dissolved. So I've really loved the last couple of years. I think it was about 3 years ago during COVID that I started listening to Marion and Lael on the Aware Parenting podcast, and that was kind of my introduction, and then read Aletha's beautiful books and became an instructor in 2023, last year, yeah. So it's been a winding path, and the core change maker, as I said, has been listening for me. So I think that's my big message to parents, is that wanting for me wasn't enough. Having all this information wasn't enough. I had to have a space where I could fall to bits, and a space where I could feel really supported and cherished and accepted everything I was bringing there. And then I could in turn offer that to my little ones. So that's made a huge difference for me, and I'm super grateful. I've got loads of listening partners. I'm grateful to all of them.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. It's such a beautiful story. And I loved how you were saying that you had this amazing modeling from your mum about the power of connection and love, and yet the missing piece being around feelings, and how you then noticed that not just in your own life when you look back and reflected, but also then in your children's early years. And I loved how you described the difference between wanting to listen and being able to listen. It's such a different thing, isn't it? Like, on the one hand, when we discover this way, we're so keen for our children to release, and we're so keen for the power of that process to be available to our children all the time. But actually being able to welcome and sit in and accept feelings is a whole different story, isn't it? And I also really love that what you're talking about, the power of us receiving listening, the power of us being in a space where we're on the receiving end, probably for the first time in our lives, of acceptance, patience, love, being seen, being heard, being understood, without judgment, without fixing, without catastrophizing, without any of that. It's just that's the game changer. That's what really makes it possible for our children. And I also really loved what you were saying about the model of aware parenting and how having this understanding of the three things that are always behind behavior really allows us to respond to our children in ways that are most effective for each individual child. It's not just that we have this formula that, you know, we listen to feelings or we meet needs or any of these things, but actually that we apply this beautiful, simple framework to each of our individual children in order to be able to understand them better and to be able to respond to them better and to be able to support them better. And it really is this very unique dance that we do with each child, isn't it? Like, yeah, I had the same understanding with Mike. One of my children also has very strong needs for autonomy and choice, and the other one just not so much. Her strong needs are for other things, but having that awareness and understanding makes so much difference in how I parent them. So yeah, it was really helpful that you brought that in. I loved what you're talking about, listening partnerships, and I know this is something you're really passionate about. I wonder if we might explore that a little bit more. Why is it, do you think, that receiving this listening is so important, and that it's so clear that we can't really be aware parenting our children unless we are receiving this kind of listening for ourselves?
Yeah, that's interesting. I think it's in the name. I think aware parenting, like, we're so busy. And even when we're busy trying to not be busy, trying to listen, trying to create space, without that space for reflection, it's really difficult to bring awareness to what we're doing. And in fact, research is really clear too that reflection is one of the biggest keys for parents being able to show up in the way that they want to. Like, I think just having a reflective space. So it's also, I think, most powerful when it's a practice. So if we've got now and again an experience of being listened to, that's really helpful. But for me anyway, I've been sharing listening time with some people for 7 or 8 years, 10 years even. And I'm still, it's a relationship, you know, it's a very specific relationship with very clear parameters that you don't have to send Christmas cards, you don't have to get worried and you know, when they're having a hard time and run around and do the dishes for them or anything. Your only job is to listen. But over time, that relationship has really deepened. Because it's a practice, I've learned, oh, this person's going to show up again next week. I've just shared the worst thing about myself, and they're there again next week, and next week, and the week after, and the week after. So I think that framework of consistent support, and I also think it's really powerful to do this. Like I see in the aware parenting world, there's a beautiful additional layer of listening support in the form of Voxer and vent text and things like that, which I love and I think it's really helpful and I use it a lot. And for me at the start, I really needed another human to kind of work with me and hold. I see it as this unhurried, unworried presence. It's like, we've got time. You don't need to go anywhere. I always say to parents who are first learning about this, you can use this time to figure out your shopping list. That's actually a really useful thing as a parent, to figure out the practical day-to-day things. And over time, safety will build and you will know, I can turn up and I can be completely unemotional. I can be really practical and figure out which lunchbox I want to buy for my kids and what I want to put in the lunchbox and what, you know. And actually what I've found, like, I'm thinking one story. Not that long ago, right where I'm sitting now, Joss, above my head were rats. Really frustrating. I live in an area where rats are a bit of a problem. And I love all creatures and I never want to kill anything ever. So I was in this listening time talking through how frustrated I was with this situation. I'm a single parent, so I'm the only grown-up in the house. And I was like, what am I going to do? I don't know what to do. I've got to figure this out. I can't just leave this situation. I don't want to do anything about this situation. And I really got to cry hard in the end about my feelings of isolation and loneliness as a single parent, you know, that it's just all on me. There's no other grown up to help me make these decisions, what to do. And it all started with this quite prosaic kind of rats in the ceiling. It's kind of an everyday challenge that we have, like rats and mice and, I don't know, earwigs I used to have in the country. So just having a space means that we get to follow our own intelligence wherever it might lead us. And what I've found is that sometimes, you know, which towels to buy can be the key that unlocks huge feelings that we've been carrying for a really long time. And when we get to set them down at the feet of this beautiful, caring listener, it just lightens our load so much. And then we've got clarity. You know, it's absolutely priceless as a parent, having that confidence and clarity to say, yeah, this is what I'm doing. Other people might not like it. They might not agree with me, but I feel confident that this is the right pathway for my family right now. And I might even change my mind next week. But for now, I feel good. This is how I'm going to do it. So I've found over time that it's really built that confidence in myself, in my decisions. It's really built my leadership in my family. And that's because, not because I'm in listening time going, I'm a great leader and everything's great. It's because in listening time, I'm like, I don't know what to do. And I am doing a terrible job. And I'm really worried about my kids. And life is too hard. I quit. Having a space where we can fall apart, completely fall apart, and know that we're still accepted, it's so counterintuitive. But then immediately afterwards, I'm like, know which direction I'm taking. I feel like it's, Hayley Whitford calls it an emotional poo. It's like we get rid of all the stuff that's clogging up our beautiful brains, or our intelligence can't function at its best when it's carrying around this huge weight of all the things. And so much of what we're carrying around is our early imprints and experiences. So it also gives us a space to reflect on that and become quite aware of what are the core issues for me, because I found in working with parents that most of us have a few core kind of challenges, a few core spaces that if we work on them, it can have ripples out to everything we do, can really impact, and not just our parenting, can really impact the way we interact with co-parents and our own parents and our colleagues and everyone. It really has some far-reaching implications when we get this time and space. I am really passionate about parents finding this, and I also know it's quite weird and scary and hard to fit it in, like just hard to find the time. So I, at the workshops I deliver, I always give parents an opportunity to experiment with this, just for a few minutes each, get a sense of how it feels. And often parents say, like, I remember one beautiful dad, he was doing a 6-week workshop, and the first week we reported back, how did that feel? He was like, yeah, I didn't like that. I didn't like that. That's not really for me. So, okay, that's cool. Like, you get to decide. You're the expert, yeah. But credit to him, he was brave and he gave it another go and another go. And by the end of the 6 weeks, he was like, you know what? I look forward to this every week. That no one's going to take the ball off me. I get to take the ball and run with it wherever I need to go. This has been really helpful. So I think also there's something in there about this is a different way of being with another human. Normally we listen to respond. We listen to pick out the most interesting, juicy bits to us. Whereas listening partnerships, it's about following that person's intelligence and their needs and helping them to fully unfold their feelings if and when they feel safe to do so. So not pushing anyone, but just saying, I noticed that seemed, you know, like it brought up some feelings. Do you want to look at that more? Would you be willing to go there? So just supporting your listening partner in a way that is really respectful of their need for safety, need to feel, you know, okay in that moment. It's an interesting dance. It's a little bit like listening to our kids too, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it so is. And I think that's so true. I loved how you started that answer by talking about awareness, and that really, if we want to be bringing awareness into how our life is going, how our children are, how our parenting is, how we're feeling, how they're feeling, how we want, and the day-to-day things. I loved you, that example that you shared about rats in the ceiling, because it can be diving deep into some really painful childhood stuff. But like you say, sometimes it's these small things that are going on in our lives that feel big at the moment that we need some space and some support to just explore and to see why this is difficult for us, why it's painful, what's there for us, or just to receive acknowledgement that actually this is a really tough thing that we're doing, trying to raise our children this way. And I loved how you were talking as well about it being a practice. Something that you keep committed to, that you keep coming back to time and time again, because it does take time to set it up. And I think sometimes we start having listening partnerships with people and we find that for whatever reason, perhaps we don't feel the safety with that person, or perhaps it's just not, you know, it's just not the right fit for us. And I think it's really important to tune into that and to honor that and to keep looking until we find somebody to connect with, or multiple people to connect with whom we do feel that sense of absolute safety, where we can trust ourselves to just to share whatever needs to come out, and for that to be held with reverence and respect by somebody else. And like you say, that we have this space to fall apart. And it is interesting that's what we're offering our children time and time again, is this space to fall apart and to share anything, no matter how big, no matter how small, whatever it is, and that we hold that space for them. And through that process, they find their way back to balance and to clarity and feeling settled and feeling calm and connected. And so it's exactly the same thing that we're getting ourselves. And yeah, it's just that there's a power to it being slightly separate from our life. So like you say, you know, we can complain about the father of our children, or we can, you know, we can say anything and know that that person's not going to then bump into our partner at the dinner table next week, or, you know, but there's some spaciousness there that provides an extra sense of possibility for sharing, I think. And I loved how you described it as unhurried, unworried presence. I think that's a really beautiful description, and that we can use it in whatever way we want to, but the outcome is always the same. And that is this sense of calm and of true confidence and clarity about our situation. And yeah, it can be scary. And often we do have lots of stories ourselves around asking for help, around speaking out, around sharing things that might be shameful, in inverted commas, out in the big wide world. Or we might have stories that we just don't have the time. And of course, many of us have very, very little time. But often bringing that to our listening partnership can be really helpful to explore those things and to get really clear that actually we matter. And our needs matter, and our needs for support and reflection and understanding and unconditionality really matters too, if we're going to be able to offer this to our children. Do you want to talk a little bit, if anything that you're willing to share, Belinda, about how this process looks for you or has looked for you over the years, and what your listening now looks like?
Yeah. So do you mean kind of functionally, like how I've set it up? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I remember my first ever listening partner, I reached out on a hand-in-hand forum and found this person who ended up being in Western Australia as well. And I was really grateful because that person I spoke to, and they were so honest. We just had a connection call first, like so brutally honest. And I was like, oh, right. Oh, this is how this looks. I kind of knew that it was about sharing, but I didn't know that we could really go there, you know, really say the hard stuff. And in their first phone call, this person really said the hard stuff. And I was like, okay. So we met once a week and shared 30 minutes listening time each. And over the course of that year, it took a long time for me to feel safe enough to have a cry, or, you know, at the start, I was just talking a lot. And that's okay. You know, you've got to build up to it. Some people, in the first 3 minutes, they'll come to a workshop with me, never having heard any of these ideas before, and will sob their hearts out in the first 3 minutes. Whatever it looks like, is you can trust. that's your pathway and that's great. So I did that once a week. Then I, around about a year in, because I take a long time, I find other people much quicker than me with everything, I set up a one-on-one session, as I said, with a very experienced listener, got this profound experience of really sobbing my heart out and noticing those changes. And so I really wanted to deepen that practice. And so on the strength of that, I set up, and because I was doing the hand-in-hand year-long certification process, I set up, I think I had 3 or 4 listening partners a week. And each of those was for 30 minutes. And what I've found is that 5 or 10 minute listening times can be really powerful, but the more time you can do, the better. And in fact, Patty Whitfield shares that when she first started doing this, she shared an hour each way. So she would do an hour and her listening partner would do an hour once a week. And for her, that dissolved a lot of the issues she was having with her 2-year-old and her baby, you know, the sleep challenges, the aggression, all those things just within a couple of months dissolved. And she sees that that was because she was more relaxed. She was able to show up and be much more relaxed. Now, kids, as we know, are beautiful little barometers for whatever our weather is. So I've definitely found that too, that me being more relaxed just has a profound impact. I had a situation last week. I got some listening time on it where I got to cry really hard and share some really big stuff that was very difficult to speak out loud. And without even needing to talk about it with my family, the situation completely changed that night. I don't know. It's just like it feels like a puzzle clicking into place where you don't have to explain it even, but it just clicks into place after you've really brought it out into the light. Because so often I find there's this kind of dark corner and there's something lurking there, and we talk around it and we kind of glance at it out of the corner of our eye. When we actually go, okay, I'm ready now. And again, I think we can trust the timing. We don't need to force ourselves to turn and look at that until we're really feeling safe enough to. But when we are feeling safe enough to and we can bring it out into the light, it just is amazing how things. I think that was really frustrating to me at the start. It's like I tried so hard, Joss. Like I got so much heart into everything I was doing and so much top-down thinking and reading and learning and trying. But when I dealt with my feelings, I didn't have to try. It was just this beautiful, natural, like gorgeously balanced experience of, this is what parenting can be. Just really aware, really balanced, really connected. So these days, how it looks for me is I have one listening partner that I've been connecting with for years now, and that's Alice, who I have a podcast with her and 4 other women called Tales from the Toolbox, which is about hand-in-hand parenting. And while we haven't put out very many episodes, we still meet every Tuesday night and my time. We span like 5 different time zones, I think. So Alice and I meet Saturday afternoon for an hour and Sunday afternoon for an hour and trade half an hour each. Plus, I now meet with another 2 listening partners. So Saturday afternoons, my kids go to their dad's. So I just cram that full of listening time. And then during the week, I have a short listening time on a Wednesday night with one of my oldest friends who I don't see in real life very much, but that's really precious too. So we're not in one another's day-to-day lives, but we kind of know each other's stories really well. And a couple of people that I just meet ad hoc. So my mentor, Anne Heffron, who's a really experienced, she was that experienced listener. We will meet a few times during the week usually and just trade a little bit of time each, kind of almost emergency or ad hoc. And I've got people that I text and vent. So it's like woven into my day. It's not just this one thing. And that's taken a decade to get to that point where it's woven into my day. And I did have some feelings about that at the start, like almost like, what's wrong with me that I need this much support? Other people seem to be able to survive without this. Like, why do I need so much of this? And I actually think we all need this much support, but particularly if you've got kids with complex challenges in their lives, like additional needs or anything going on, any other complexities. If you've got, you know, deaths, which I've had multiple in my life, if you've got divorce, which I've had, if you've got any of those big challenges, then I really encourage you to think about building in more than one listening partner and more than one avenue of support. And maybe that just for you looks like someone you feel really safe to talk with. But I do think the structure of listening time has been what's allowed me to feel safe enough to go deeper and deeper into the feelings and really look into those dark corners. Mm. It's a very kind of trauma-informed space where you've got the timer, you've got this agreement that you're not going to refer back afterwards, that it's very confidential, and that person's not going to interrupt you or try to fix it. And I remember early on sharing with Anne, you know, I was sobbing and saying, I'm a bad parent. I'm doing a terrible job. I'm messing my kids up. I just feel like a terrible mother. And she didn't say what all my beautiful friends were saying, which is, oh, you're a good mum. You're doing a great job.
Yeah.
She said, I'm so sorry you have to carry those feelings. That must be really hard. And somehow that was just being allowed to feel that way was really healing, that someone honoured, well, that is how you feel. I'm really sorry you feel that. That's rough. And, of course, you know, later on, I think in that listening time, she put in, is it possible that you're doing an okay job? Like, I was like, well, maybe, but I don't think so. So still holding out confidence, but allowing someone to feel whatever they feel, just like we do for our children, not trying to fix it or change it, but just allowing it to be as it is, then means that we can move through those feelings, I think, come through the other side and go, oh, okay. It's like an arc of emotion. We can go from one side to the other and bridge over to, oh, okay, I have carried that and now I can set it down. I can look at it clearly and see, is it true? It's a feeling, but is it really the way things are? Well, yeah, there's been things that have not been great, but actually I'm showing up. I'm doing my best, reaching out for help, and that really matters.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that. It's really beautiful to hear that story, and I so honour you in your willingness to keep coming back to that. And I love how you talk about it being this long process. It's not something that you land at immediately. It's something that takes time to really support you, and that it shifts as your needs shift and as your circumstances shift too. And, you know, that description that, you know, you're having 3 to 4 listening partners per week, some face-to-face, some on Zoom, some through messaging support, but really have it, I think your words were woven into your day. And I think that's such a beautiful description, because it means that we always have this sense that somebody can be there with us when things are hard, no matter how many times we've spoken to them already that week, or, you know, we don't feel like we're too much or being too much, which is often a story for us as well. This allows us to really be able to reach out in lots of different directions, depending on what feels the right kind of support for us in that moment, that is just so beautiful. And I loved what you were talking about in terms of the shifts that you see in your children after receiving listening. And I've seen that time and time again myself and with the clients I work with too, that we have this big story about something that we're really struggling with in parenting, and then we get the opportunity to share and to talk and to offload and to explore and to reflect on it more with our listening partner. And then we come back to our children and it's completely different, and nothing to them exactly has changed at all. And yet everything is different as a result of getting that support. And I love what you were saying too about how easy it is for us to go into a story that there must be something wrong with us if we're needing support, and this idea that we should be able to do it all ourselves. And that's such a strong message that we're surrounded by in our culture very often, isn't it? And yet it's exactly the opposite that's true, that the more that we have spaces where we can fall apart, the more that we normalize the need particularly in very challenging moments, to be receiving acknowledgement and understanding and the space to really to share and to be vulnerable and to be authentic and to be falling apart without somebody saying, oh no, but you're great, you're doing such a good, you know, all that stuff, which is
so well-meaning,
really,
yeah,
well-intentioned and so beautiful and something that I do myself. But there's something about the quality of the relationship where nothing is expected of you in that way. It's just a space where somebody's going to hold it for you. Transforms everything. And I've also been on a similar journey, starting off by having a listening partner who was just a really good friend, and we were both discovering your aware parenting together. So it was very much about the children and what was happening with the children and how this had been and how we'd tried that and how we'd been listening to feelings for 45 minutes. And oh my goodness, it was so big, but at the end of it. And that's a really important and beautiful process. And then I connected with somebody on the other side of the country and we shared listening regularly. And then I started this really regular practice with somebody who is my friend, but who now lives on the other side of the country, who used to be here with me in WA. And so, yeah, we know each other's stories, like you were saying, that's such an important part of it, but we're not in each other's day-to-day lives. And we share listening every Sunday morning, half an hour each. And we usually have like 20 minutes catch up at the beginning and then half an hour each of listening. And we take turns to go first. We also send messages to each other on a voice note app if we want to during the course of the week. And then in addition to that, I have two beautiful colleagues who I share listening with through voice noting and over Zoom. And it's just unbelievably powerful. I haven't got words actually to say how that's changed my life. And this is something that I've been doing probably for the last 3 years, really, really religiously and in this deepening way with all of them, the listening partner and with my two colleagues. And it's just supported me to get into spaces in my healing that, you know, I had lots of therapy when I was training, lots of counseling, lots of all kinds of different types of therapy. But it's something very special about the quality of the relationship that you have with a listening partner that has supported much deeper. And the thing that I notice is that I can now cry in a way that I never was able to do before. And because of these relationships that I have with these amazing women, regularly connecting and supporting each other, I'm now able to really sit in the discomfort of painful feelings in a way that I was never able to do before. I could think about it, I could talk about it, but I could never really get into the crying of it. And of course, as we know in aware parenting, it's that crying process that is so important for releasing and healing. And now I can cry. I mean, the other day, I was driving home from being in the city with my kids, and I cried for 5 hours on the drive home. And it was an incredible process. And I was receiving messages of support whilst I was driving from the people who knew what I was going through. So I was listening to their voice messages while I was driving, and I didn't have to share anything back. I just knew that I didn't feel alone. I felt really held, even though I was driving in the remote WA in the middle of nowhere. And I think that was one of the most healing processes of my life. And I never would have got there if it hadn't been for a listening partner, well, several listening partners, and the quality of support and safety that they offer me. So it's just, like you say, I really can't normalize enough for people the need for all of us to have this. Now, I've been practicing aware parenting for 18 years, and yet it was 2 weeks ago that I had this most profound healing and listening and releasing moment of my life. So yes, it's this ongoing thing that we keep doing. And when we keep doing it, it just brings so much value and healing and clarity and possibility to our lives.
Thank you for sharing that. That's really beautiful. I really agree with you about knowing that there's a place. So day to day with my kids, if I'm having a hard moment, just I can hold on. Like I can think, I'm going to take this to so-and-so tonight. I'm going to really let rip tonight and say what I wanted to say right now. And the biggest thing I think listening partnerships have given me day to day is space in the moment, because that used to be a real issue for me. I would just react, and I knew how I wanted to be, but I just couldn't seem to make it work. So listening time has really given me that space to kind of go, okay, yes, this was a hard moment and I will be sharing this with someone who cares later. And I wanted to touch on as well what you said about therapy. I think therapy is incredibly useful and something that is amazing if you can get there. But the thing that I've found is that listening partnerships have been way more powerful for me. I think that's partly because I could weave them into my life. It's not once a month, you know, or once a week even. It's become a daily practice that takes multiple forms. But also, I reckon it's the reciprocity. I think it's, for me, listening has been as powerful, and people often say this in the workshops that I run, that you know, without referring back to anything anyone said, they'll say, listening to the other people in this group has been profoundly healing for me. And because you suddenly, without anyone telling you, oh, you're not alone, you're not the only parent to feel like this, you feel that, you know, you really experience, I am not the only one. And I say now, I know deep in my bones, I don't have to convince myself, like, I am not the only one. I, in fact, know that every parent is, you know, whether it is the Meghan Markles of the world or, you know, people with huge privilege and support and structural help, or even, oh, I'm thinking even you, Joss, someone who's been doing this for a long time, it'd be easy for someone to go, oh, Joss has got it covered. You know, she knows all this stuff. But I know that every parent has struggles. And as you just shared so beautifully, that you're still working through things. And so it means that I can then feel safe to face my struggles. Like, it's okay to have struggles. This is normal. This is part of being human. This is the process that we go through. And sharing those struggles is so beautiful. Feeling connected to another human being in the midst of those struggles means that it's meaningful instead of just suffering, kind of thing. It becomes a process and a pathway to deepening our compassion for others, to deepening our understanding of our children. It's so beautiful. And I think the other thing that I love about listening time is that we make this commitment to hold the goodness of everyone. So hold the goodness of the parent who we're, or the person that we're speaking with, but also, you know, their ex-partner that they're ranting about. We're like, that's a good human too. We know this. And that then almost allows you to, you know, to rant even harder about that person, or your child, to have a big moan about your child. You know that that person is not going to get on the bandwagon and say, yeah, that was really rubbish, da-da-da-da-da, as a friend might, or, you know, maybe. You know that they're going to hold the goodness of everyone you're speaking about and really see that everyone's doing their best, even when it looks incredibly messy. That I found really freeing sometime to have that person hold. And I found that really helpful with my boys and their sibling relationship too, that I can then hold the goodness between them. I can be like, yeah, you're having a hard moment and it is really tough and I know you really don't like him right now, but there is love between you. It's really precious and beautiful, that love between you. Mm. So, yeah, I love that you shared that story. I'm really grateful that you shared that story about that depth of experience and that crying for such a long time. And I think that's why the longer listening times can be really powerful too. I've done a few that have been like at least an hour long, and it's very interesting where you get to. So I recommend that people experiment too. If you do have a regular listening partner, that you experiment with short, you know, 5-minute sessions, you experiment with 1-hour sessions, you experiment with, you know, 23-minute sessions, like just to see. And I know Alice and I have talked often about how if you've got a 20-minute listening time, you'll often start to cry at like 17 minutes. So that's also interesting, how well trained we are not to cry, and how hard it can be to get there. So just, I don't know, seeing it as a big experiment, a grand experiment, trying to be quite light with it and understanding that it doesn't have to look a certain way. So that's the other thing. I think people sometimes feel, oh, I have to cry. And obviously it's great if you do, if you cry, if you laugh, if you tremble. I've seen people yawn their whole listening time. I've seen people scratch, like any of those kind of physical manifestations of, you know, expelling the tension is amazing. And it's okay to, like, particularly when I've done listening time with men, I've found that it can be really difficult for them to get to feelings. And I've seen incredible shifts and incredible work done by the men that I've shared listening time with. It doesn't have to look a certain way, is I guess what I'm thinking too, for parents who are listening in. Make it our own, work with what we've got, stop shooting ourselves as far as we're able to. And yeah.
Yes, it's a real lesson in allowing and trusting and just showing up. And yeah, I really, it's so true what you're saying about the reciprocity of it being quite an important thing. And yeah, it's as much, I think, about learning to listen and hold space as it is about having the opportunity to offload and to share. And of course, that's so normal. You can see the power of it then, because if we were living the way that we're designed to live in our tribes and villages, as how we evolved for 250,000 years of human history, we would have had pretty much at any moment in any day somebody there to turn to and to share with, to be able to offload to and to be listened and acknowledged by. And now here we are, isolated and alone so much of the time. So you can really see the power of it. And I loved what you were saying too about the spaciousness that it brings to your interactions with your children too. And I've noticed that as well. In the past, I would have been so much more reactive to my children. But now, just knowing that I can take that elsewhere, or even with my partner too, just knowing that I have a space later to be able to take big feelings, means that I can actually hold it so much easier in the moment and pause and respond and be there for my children, or to not get into that reactive argumentative space with my husband or whatever, because I know that later on those feelings will be heard. I just park them for now, and then I take them and feel them in the full glory and pain of whatever it is that's there. But it really does support so much ease in managing the tricky moments in relationships. And I think, yeah, just combating that sense of isolation is so, so powerful. Yeah. So I know the other thing that you're really, well, one of the other things that you're really passionate about, Belinda, is books and reading and connection within the family. Why is that something that's really important to you, and how do you incorporate that into your life?
I'm laughing because I think one of the reasons it's so important to me is it's been a huge control pattern in my life. you know, it's been a really beautiful support to me in coping with a world that I've found overwhelming and challenging throughout my life. So as a young child, I spent a lot of time with my nose in a book. I then, you know, as an adult, became a high school English teacher. I was a bookseller for a while in a gorgeous little bookshop in the north of England for about 6 years, which I loved. And then I became a teacher librarian, and then I worked in public libraries. So it's been a sort of core part of my vocation over the years. And now in my work, I work for not-for-profits as a parenting facilitator, but I actually often use books. You know, there's one called The Rabbit Listened, which many people will be familiar with, which is a picture book by a woman called, I think it's a woman called Cori Doerfeld. And that's just a gorgeous, gorgeous book about listening, about, you know, this child having a hard moment and people coming along and, or animals actually coming along and trying to distract or trying to fix, or, and how this rabbit just sidles up and cuddles up next to her and just listens as she goes through all the feelings. So it's a really beautiful book. I really recommend that one. I think books have really met a need for me to explore ideas, to learn. I love learning. I love coming up with new ideas. I've loved Aletha's books. They've been a real source of incredibly articulate and precise information. So my favourite at the moment is Healing Your Traumatised Child. That one I'm really loving. I love Patti Whitfler's book Listen, which presents the hand-in-hand parenting approach. It's sort of deeply compassionate and shares a lot of stories about how parents have woven those ideas into their life of play, listening to children's big feelings and things like listening partnerships, as well as limits and what we call special time in hand-in-hand parenting. And I think hand-in-hand does that, we call it non-directive child-centered play in aware parenting. Hand-in-hand really leans into that, and I think it's got a lot of beautiful nuance in that book around special time and the ways it can be really powerful to support our children's needs, closeness, for autonomy and choice, for all sorts of beautiful things. So books have just been such a gorgeous part of our family life too, and they've really given us a shared language for all sorts of things, like hard moments. I'm thinking, I've got stepkids who are now in their 20s and 30s, and my youngest stepson, I remember he was having a really hard time at school with a particular teacher, and we couldn't figure out what the problem was. And I remember him saying, "She's just like Mrs. Coulter." And I don't know if you've ever read the Northern Lights trilogy, but there's this character in there who's very beautiful and very, you know, sort of lovely with everyone, but actually there's a lot going on behind the scenes. It's actually quite a negative character. And so we had a real sense of his felt experience of this teacher as someone who could connect with adults really well but couldn't connect with children very well. And then through exploring that situation, that was exactly what was happening. So it can really give you an inroad to understanding their experience. It can really broaden their understanding of the world. And just from a functional perspective, you know, if you read 3 books a day to a child, they've had, I don't even know what that adds up to, but it's like nearly 1 million words by the time they're 5 that they've heard. So just in terms of growing brains and exposing them to ideas and information about the world, but mostly sharing that time with you. You know, we call it the triangle of connection. You have the child on your lap, there's you, and there's the book, and you're there together. And it provides a beautiful launch pad for all sorts of discussions. It gives you a way. It's a bit like play, where you can really, you know, my kids having been through a separation with their dad and I, it gave us a way to have a kind of a picture of what that can look like. And also when my second child was born, it gave me a way to talk with my oldest about any feelings he might be having. But it's kind of like you can kind of come in a little bit sideways, because the direct approach often hasn't worked that well with my kids anyway. So how are you feeling about this? You know, most kids at that point are like, what are you talking about? But if you can use a book, it can be a way to have those conversations. Having said that, I do know that I use books as a distraction a lot as a parent. And now looking back, knowing what I know now, I would do things very differently. I would still use books and love them and have them as a centerpiece of our family life, but I also would have honored their feelings in any given moment rather than trying to distract them with the book. So like anything, it can be a powerful force for good, and it can be a powerful control pattern. So I just think that's been a big learning for me over the last few years. It's like, right, okay, I need to read every night before I go to sleep. That's interesting. I need to read. Like it's the compulsion. So learning that and then thinking, okay, what feelings am I damping down with this need to read? So offering myself that kind of loving compassion instead of picking up the book and going, okay, what's in there? I'm here with you. You know, Marion's inner loving presences process, just sort of, what do you need to hear right now? What's coming up? That's been really helpful too. Yes, I'm really grateful that books exist. I think it's been a lovely way to connect with other parents too. I have a Books Connection and Parenting Facebook group where we discuss a book every month or two. It's kind of every 2 months at the moment, where there's one core focus group, but also parents can share anything they're reading and enjoying. There's so many great parenting books out there, so it's nice to have a space where we can bring them and have a repository of great ideas and great books. And I'm learning about some new children's books because my kids are a bit older. It's been great to have parents suggest children's books in there that I've been learning about and enjoying. So yeah, I'd love to welcome anyone who's interested to that group. And my aim for a while now has been to have a Books Connection and Parenting podcast. So that will be coming sometime in the next, you know, whenever it gets there. So I'm looking forward to that, but I just need to deal with a few logistics to get there. So.
Wow, that sounds amazing. Yeah, thank you for sharing all that. I really hear your passion and your enthusiasm and all the different roles that it plays in your life and the lives of the people that you work with, and to contribute learning and wisdom and fun and connection and joy and language and stimulation and understanding about the world and about people in the world. It's just, it's a beautiful, beautiful source. And I loved how you're bringing in the fact that it can also be a control pattern and a big distraction, because I think often people don't really see that about reading. It's just seen as a good thing. And if a child is reading a lot, then they're quiet and they're self-contained, and it's a good thing. So it's really nice to raise that that can also be there too, and that there's then this way to bring in connection and compassion and awareness to that, to support our children to be able to enjoy books even more, but also to have the opportunity to be releasing and healing from whatever feelings might be underneath their need to read in that way. And the same true for us as parents as well. And I love the sound of your Facebook group. So on that point, how can people learn more about you, Belinda? Where else do you share? I'll put the links for that into the show description, but how can people work with you if they want to?
They can visit my website, which is Belinda, B-E-L-Y-N-D-A, belindasmith.com.au. And on there are various bits and pieces. There's some downloads. I offer a listening circle once a month, and there's still places in that. So I'd love to welcome anyone who would like to come along. You can just come once, or you can make it a practice and come every month. And I think that's a really lovely way for parents who aren't familiar with listening time, who are thinking, this might be a good idea, but I don't really know how it might look. I provide that structure and that vessel, if you like, for learning about that. And I think because it's in a group setting as well, it's really beautiful to hear other parents and their experiences. So that's a really lovely thing. We do that on the third Sunday of the month from 5 till 6 West Australian time. Yeah, and I love connecting with parents. So if anyone's got questions, or I also have a free download if parents would like to sign up to my mailing list, or even if they just like the free download, they're welcome to get in contact with me, called Book Sharing for Connected Families. So that's got lots of information. It's kind of 18 or 20 pages about book sharing, and shares some recommended reads for families too.
Beautiful. Okay, I'll put all those links in. And the last thing that I always ask my guests is, if you could go back to the beginning of your parenting process, knowing what you know now, what would you love to say to that young Belinda at the beginning of the journey that would support her, that you know to be true now, that you didn't possibly understand then?
Oh, such a great question. I think it's such a huge question. I think I'm here is what came to me. Like, I'm here, I'm with you. You know, you're not alone is probably the big one for me, but also your feelings are welcome. Feelings are understandable and okay, and they're really welcome. And I'm here to listen. So just having someone there to listen would have made a big difference, I think.
That's so beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, amazing. I mean, just imagine knowing that as a young mother in the early days, that your feelings are okay and they're welcome, and that it's okay to want support and to be able to receive that support. It's just, yeah, would have made all the difference. So thank you for sharing that.
Thanks, Jo.
Oh, Belinda, thanks so much for sharing all of your story and all some of the things that you're really passionate about. I think it's really, really inspiring for people to hear how and why listening is so important, and how, what a difference it makes in our lives. And I love the passion that you share that with, and also about books and about how they can be such a powerful way to bring more connection in the family. So thank you so much for sharing.
Thank you, Joss. And I want to thank you for everything you do. I want to put in a plug for your teens course. Actually, I've participated in Joss's Teens, Aware Parenting Teenagers course, and it's been beautiful and so helpful. And I really love what you're bringing to the world. And I love that, you know, as a practice, like you are there, like you're offering all these beautiful things. And there's another podcast from Joss, and I just love it. I'm so grateful that you're in the world. Thank you.
Oh, Belinda, that's beautiful. Thank you so much for saying that. Oh, sending lots of love. Thank you, Belinda.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining me on Aware Parenting Stories. I hope you enjoyed this episode. To find out more, please visit my website, www.awareparenting.com.au, and follow me on social media at Aware Parenting with Joss. I wish you much connection and love on your parenting adventures.